Good morning, everyone. It is week one. I'm Casey Cook. I'm the legislative director at the league. This is our Monday call-in. We will do these every Monday during session, with the exception of next Monday, which is Martin Luther King Day. Just a reminder for the group that we're going to have the call next Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. because we have a holiday on Monday. We're going to start the call for those that are new. We're going to start the call and we'll go around the horn with each of our lobbyists. They will talk about the key bills that they're watching or working on this week, where we need your help. And once they've shared their updates, we're going to open the call for questions. So we'll do some Q&A after each of the lobbyists have gone. If you'd like to ask a question, press *9 on your phone. Again, *9 on your phone. We are recording this call. And an email will go out today with a summary of the call, as well as a link to the call's recording. With that, I'm going to turn it over to our first speaker, Amber Hughes.
Thank you, Casey. Good morning, everyone. This is Amber Hughes. I hope everyone had a great weekend. Two different issues that I want to talk about. The first deals with financial disclosures of local elected officials or local officials. This is Senate Bill 510 by Senator Broder. This bill is up this week in Community Affairs on Wednesday. This bill will change the current law, which requires elected city officials to file what is called a Form 1 or Statement of Financial Interest, and would require the city elected officials as well as the city manager to file the Form 6, which is the full and public disclosure of financial interest. This is an issue we've seen around for a couple of years. This is the second committee stop for this bill in the Senate. There is also a House companion that is yet to be heard in committee. That is House Bill 301 by Representative Roach. We have heard from especially our smaller members about the, you know, real life impacts of going to this more intense financial disclosure. So we are attempting to get the bill amended. The amendment that we have drafted and that we are shopping around would cut out those cities that have 3 consecutive years of revenues that are over $10 million. So that is kind of where we are on that issue. But once again, that bill, Senate Bill 510 by Senator Broder, will be up on Wednesday in Community Affairs. And then the second issue I want to talk about, this bill has not yet been agendaed, but I want to put it on your radar. And it is a constitutional amendment dealing with expanding the current homestead exemption. So I'm going to give you the bill numbers and then tell you what it does. So it's Senate Joint Resolution 1266 by Senator Brandis and House Joint Resolution 923 by Representative Fisher. So these would be, as I said, constitutional amendments that would require voter approval of 60%, and it would allow the legislature through a general bill to increase the second $25,000 homestead exemption. This is the one that only applies to non-school property taxes, and it applies to the assessed value that is greater than $50,000. That being said, there is a what we call an implementing bill that is going along with the Senate bill. That is Senate Bill 1264 by Senator Brandis. This kind of puts the details into that potential increase if approved by voters. And what it does is that it would pretty much index that second $25,000 homestead exemption to the to a house price index that is specific for Florida. And it would require that to be looked at every 5 years. So obviously, given the importance of property taxes to our cities, we are concerned about this bill. But as I said, it has not yet been agendaed. I just wanted to make sure that it was on everyone's radar. And with that, I will hand it over to David Cruz.
Thank you, Amber. Good morning, everyone. Happy week one. This morning, I wanted to go ahead and spend my time speaking about actually 2 sets of bills that are not on the agenda for this week. Just wanted to put on everybody's radar that we are awaiting a lot of agendas to come out, especially in House committees this week. And so we are only talking about bills that are up until Wednesday so far. So there's the potential for additional bills to come up later this week. So that being said, I did want to bring to your attention a very important bill that I'll be spending a lot of my time working on this week dealing with sovereign immunity. The bills numbers are Senate Bill 974 by Senator Grutter and House Bill 985 by Representative Beltran. And essentially, these bills would increase sovereign immunity caps in Florida. Sovereign immunity is a very important level of protection that all levels of government in Florida enjoy. It protects governments from liability whenever there is a tort claim. And so in Florida, the current levels are set at $200,000 per person and $300,000 per incident. The bills that have been filed would erase those two limits and instead replace them with a $1 million per person limit. And so that would be a substantial increase in the current level of protection afforded for liability for Florida's governments. And so that would be a very big financial impact to all cities, counties, and state-level government entities. And so that is a bill that I will be closely working on, and I just wanted to bring to your attention. The next set of bills I wanted to bring up actually deal with growth management, and it's actually a pair of bills I was hoping to get some feedback on. And so if you are strong on growth management issues, if you have planning staff that has the time to look at these pair of bills, I would greatly appreciate any feedback you get back to me on these. And so the bill numbers for these are House Bill 739 by Representative Borrero and Senate Bill 1248 by Senator Grutter again. And these bills deal with residential infill development. And so the bills attempt to standardize residential infill development. And so by standardizing that process, that also means it preempts cities and counties on residential infill development. And it would essentially allow for development to occur if certain criteria are met. If there's adequate schools, adequate roads, adequate infrastructure in place, and a developer is able to approve that, it would automatically allow for development up to 120 acres. And so that's a pretty big number of acres. It's my understanding that the bill was actually modeled after a county ordinance, Pasco County ordinance. And so they're putting the Pasco County ordinance in state law, and then it would preempt all other city and county laws that differ from this model. And so if you could please take a look at these two bills and provide me with any feedback, that would be greatly appreciated. My email address is dcruz, C-R-U-Z, at flcities.com. And with that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Jeff.
Thanks, David. Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Happy week one. Two bills that are up this week in community affairs that we are supporting. Senate Bill 788 by Senator Hooper, Florida Hometown Hero Housing Program. Creates a housing program for our frontline workers and educators, in addition to the other programs that exist for affordable housing. The second bill we're supporting, Senate Bill 962 by Senator Bradley, mixed-use residential, basically just adds another tool in a toolbox as it relates to affordable housing. So those are two bills that we are supporting this week. A couple bills that are not up this week, but I wanted to put on your radar. House Bill 621 by Representative Fine, Senate Bill 1162 by Senator Broxson. This would prohibit state funding for local governments as it relates to certain infrastructure projects, water projects. If you transfer any of your utility revenues into your general fund, does not prohibit you from transferring to into your general fund, it will just make you ineligible for certain projects. I want to put that on your radar. If you have any further questions or any feedback as it relates to House Bill 621 and Senate Bill 1162, please reach out to me. My email address is jbranch@flcities.com. And with that, I will hand it over to Rebecca.
Thank you, Jeff. Good morning, everybody. I'm going to talk about just one bill today. It's Senate Bill 280, entitled Local Ordinances by Senator Hudson. It is going to be considered in the Community Affairs Committee on Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. You've heard us talk about this bill before. This is the bill that would require cities and counties to adopt a business impact statement for all of their ordinances once the bill becomes effective, and it would also award attorney's fees for somebody that prevails in a legal challenge to such ordinances. And it would also
require some changing of the judicial review standards as it relates to determining whether ordinances are arbitrary or unreasonable. And the good news with this bill is that we've submitted extensive comments to the bill sponsor, and there is an amendment that has been filed to the bill. It's a strike everything amendment, and the amendment reflects that the bill sponsor has accepted about 50% of the changes that we've requested to the bill. So it is definitely moving in a positive direction. I just want to talk on a couple of things that that amendment does very quickly, just hit the real high highlights. The first thing it does, importantly, is that it streamlines the business impact statement requirement considerably. I think it, with these changes, the requirement is not as onerous as it was under the original bill, and it's certainly going to be more doable for most, if not all, of our members. The second thing it does is that it limits the award of attorney's fees to legal challenges where the ordinance is found to be arbitrary and unreasonable. So what it has taken off the table are challenges to ordinances based on an implied preemption. The other thing it does on the attorney's fees section that's notable that we had asked for is that it caps attorney's fees in such challenges to $50,000. The additional change to the that the amendment makes is regarding the enforcement, abatement of enforcement of existing ordinances under the bill as filed. You would be required to automatically abate the enforcement of an ordinance if somebody files a legal challenge to it. The amendment that's been filed would, in order to trigger that abatement, it would require somebody, in order to make the ask that you abate that enforcement, they would have to have submitted comments to you prior to ordinance adoption, either verbally or in writing. This way, it would give you a heads up that somebody has a problem with the ordinance and hopefully give you a chance to make changes to potentially avoid a subsequent legal challenge. The other thing the bill does is that it makes some changes in terms of types of ordinances that are exempt from certain parts of the bill. They've accepted about a lot of our suggestions in this regard, but more remains to be done in terms of getting exemptions to the bill to reduce costs on your part to comply. So I would say that going forward, what's needed, two of the main things, there are several other things, but I'm only going to talk about two of them. One would be a request to the bill sponsor and senators to unify the exemptions that are in the bill. Right now, there are three main sections of the bill, and there are different exemptions for each of the three sections, which is a little confusing, and it's unnecessarily confusing. Our suggestion would be that they unify all of those exemptions so that they apply to the bill uniformly. And the second thing that the bill really should include is something that would deter frivolous claims and actions from being filed, so that you don't end up with somebody seeking to abate the enforcement of an ordinance when they really don't have a serious and legitimate legal claim. And there are ways to do that, but I think just for today's purposes, if you're having conversations with legislators about this bill, the way I would phrase it is say that the bill needs to have something in there to deter frivolous legal actions and frivolous legal claims. After the bill is heard today, it will head to the Judiciary Committee. We'll have a better sense after today's meeting what the likelihood is of getting the bill amended further. I think today, if you happen to have a conversation with anybody that is on the Senate Community Affairs Committee, number one, thank them for accepting a lot of the changes that we had suggested and for continuing to work in good faith with us. And also, as the bill moves forward, to consider making additional changes to the bill to get us to a point where we think it can be workable and livable for everybody. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tara Taggart. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca, and good morning, everyone. A couple bills to put on your radar this week. The first two that I will mention will be heard tomorrow at 4 p.m. in the Senate Regulated Industries Committee. That first one is Senate Bill 512, Vacation Rentals, by Senator Burgess. This bill makes several changes to current law, but looks much different than the outright preemption bills that we've seen in past years. Most of those changes will be felt by cities that do not have a grandfathered ordinance or cities that have adopted something after 2011. So if your city falls into that category, what the bill does is preempts officially on licensing, but it allows you to adopt an ordinance that creates a local registration program. The bill outlines what you can require in that registration program, lists numerous things, but some of the high points: it allows you to require a point of contact, as well as require detailed information on the owner and someone who can respond quickly if issues arise, requires them to obtain a state license, as well as all collect or remit all taxes owed to the Department of Revenue, requires them to comply with all trash and parking standards, as long as they're not solely implied on vacation rentals. You can charge a fee of up to $50, just to name a few things. If you fall into the pre-2011 category, or if you enjoy grandfathered protections on your current vacation rental ordinance, you get to keep those protections, but the bill does clarify that you can amend your ordinance to be less restrictive. Outside of specific regulations on cities, the bill has several new accountability measures on advertising platforms and puts some significant new responsibility on DBPR, the Department of Business and Professional Regulations. We know this bill has quite a few changes, and it is surely not perfect by any means. We're actively working with the bill sponsor to recommend several changes to this bill, to name, kind of the major or the top three. We know that the $50 fee is not sufficient. It would not, completely cover the cost to run the program for most cities. We feel that we should be able to charge at least what it costs cities to, run this vacation rental program. The accountability measures on DBPR are questionable. It's been a revolving door at the top, and we want to make sure that they are, have the tools and resources available to do everything that's outlined in this bill. And then finally, the bill is silent on occupancy. Many vacation rental ordinances that are not grandfathered have occupancy limits. Pretty standard is two people per bedroom plus two. So if you have a three-bedroom house, that would be eight people. We feel that either cities or the state, we should have occupancy limits either on the state level or the local government level if the state does not address it. So that's kind of the high points on vacation rentals. Also up tomorrow is a bill, it's Senate Bill 994, titled Pet Protection by Senator Diaz. What this bill does is to create a statewide regulatory structure for retail pet stores to be administered by DBPR. Of importance to local governments, it grandfathers currently existing ordinances that were adopted by prior to June 1, 2021. Going forward, if the bill were to pass, local governments would still be authorized to adopt ordinances, but they would not be allowed to outright prohibit retail pet stores. They could also not conflict with the regulations that would be in place by DBPR. Finally, we do not know officially if this bill would be heard on Thursday, but I'm hearing some rumors that it will be. It's House Bill 105, and it would be heard in the Professions and Public Health Subcommittee. This bill is the bill that would restore authority to local governments to restrict smoking in public parks and on public beaches. It's by Representative Fine, and we support this bill. As soon as we know whether this bill will be heard on Thursday, we will send out an alert asking you to reach out to members of that committee to support the bill. With that, that's all for me, and I'll turn it back to Casey Cook.
All right. Thank you, Tara. You've heard, from our lobbying team, we are following and working on, quite a number of bills. Just as a reminder and to preempt this question, we threw a lot of bill numbers out at you, a lot of bill titles out at you. We send out a summary email of the bills that we talked about today with the bill number, the committee reference, and the lobbyist contact information, so that if you have specific questions or if you have feedback on a specific bill, you'll know the right number and the right person here at the league to get in touch with. We're going to enter questions and answers now. So if you to ask a question, please press *9. When you're recognized, please open with your name and the city that you represent. As a reminder, again, it's *9. When you open, please let us know your name and the city you represent. While we're waiting, there's a little bit of a tape delay in our system, but while we're waiting, I did want to hit on something that David brought up in his comments. We're working on a pretty short notice deadline for this early in session, especially in the House. I think the House is on 48 hours. And so what that means is that we don't know what's on Thursday's agenda until basically late this afternoon. I think that speaks to the importance of staying tuned in to what the league's doing, what we're sending out, so that you will know as soon as we do when these big bills come up and are on a committee agenda. The Senate deadline right now, I believe, is 72 hours, so we've got a little bit more time, but we're still waiting for some Senate agendas for later in the week. I thought it was a really good point that David brought up, but it speaks to the importance of staying tuned in. So we have our first question. Go ahead.
This is Willie Puz with the Solid Waste Authority of Palm Beach County. Good morning, everybody. You've done a great job to kick us off this week.
Good morning, Willie.
Wanted to bring up Senate Bill 1024 and House Bill 741 on net metering. I understand it may be in the Senate's Regulated Industries Committee tomorrow at 4. And the concern, it seems to be that it may reduce rooftop solar installations and may reduce the need for renewable energy capacity from independent power producers. And knowing that there are 10 waste-to-energy plants in the state, you know, just seeing if that one is on your radar.
The short answer is it is on our radar. I'm going to turn it over to Rebecca Willie for the longer answer.
Well, it's not much of a longer answer, but thank you for mentioning that, Bill. I know that many people are keeping an eye on it. The league's position on that bill is we are neither supportive nor opposed to the bill. We're limited by our charter and bylaws to bills that have a direct impact on municipal operations. And while the net metering bill is certainly an important consumer bill, it doesn't really meet the threshold of having that direct impact on the operations of city business. And also in terms of a statewide impact as well. So hopefully that answers your question. But yes, you are correct. That bill is going to be heard in the Senate Regulated Industries Committee tomorrow, which is Tuesday at 4 p.m., and that's Senate Bill 1024.
Thank you, Rebecca. Next question.
Thank you. This is Cal Rothman from the City of Mount Dora. This is not a question, but is a compliment to the great work that you, Casey, and your group do for all cities. I don't think there's enough thanks and appreciation for all the work you do, the ton of work to get us through this legislative session. This is just the beginning, but you have certainly my appreciation and our city's appreciation for all the work that you and your staff do. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilmember Rolfson. Next
good
question.
Good morning, all. This is Philip Walker, City of Lakeland's Commissioner, FLC President. Just telling, just want to make sure I should share and tell all who's on the call how much I appreciate the support for our very first Monday morning call-in for this session. And thank you all for what you're doing, staff, and all those that are supporting our efforts. But I do have a question about one particular situation, if I may, Casey. And that's Senate Bill 1162, House Bill 621, which deals with state grant funding, which are with utilities that do return revenues back to its source, or back to the city. Anything going with that at all?
Hey, President Walker,
Jeff French here. We have had conversations with the House sponsor, Rep. Find, and we are making an appointment request with Senator Broxson. In our discussion with Rep. Find, he has asked us for some feedback, some input. We have reached out to a number of cities. Lakeland is one that we have talked to. And so if there's any other feedback that any other cities would like to send our way, we would be glad to have that. And so the bill, we don't know when the bill will be up. We're just trying to get ahead of the issue and to try to work as much out we can before the bill is agended.
Well, thank you so very much. And I do appreciate that, Mr. Branch. And again, to all of you all staff for your early on, initiatives to help support what we all know we want to make happen for us in cities in our state. And I appreciate, again, all those that are on the call this morning as president of FLC. Thank you all for your support as we get through the session, hopefully very well. You be blessed.
Thank you, President Walker, for your leadership. All right, seeing no more questions, I've got one more notice or one more announcement, and that is, just a reminder to the folks on the call that we're a member-driven association. One of the goals of this call is to make sure that you know what's happening in Tallahassee this week and where we're spending significant energy during session. I think the second goal is for you to have an opportunity to provide feedback to us. Ultimately, you folks that are working down at the city level will know, how these specific bills that we talk about will impact your cities. And so this is an opportunity for you to hear about what's going on and then circle back with us with that direct information as to the impacts of some of the bills that we're talking about. And so I just wanted to make sure that folks knew that if you hear about any of these bills, you think that there will be a big impact on your city, we need to know. And in that recap email, you'll have the contact information for our team. The final thing is that our Legislative Action Days is happening February 8th and 9th here in Tallahassee. Registration links have gone out. More information is available on our website. Please sign up. It's going to be an action-packed couple days here in Tallahassee. I'd love to have as many of our members in town as possible so that we can show the folks at the Capitol what cities are all about. Thanks for joining us today. We will see you next Tuesday at 9 a.m. As a reminder, we're not going to be here next Monday. Next Tuesday at 9 a.m. You guys have a great week. Thanks, everybody.